Hear me now? Can you hear me now? Amen. Good morning. Welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us ate too much turkey? Only Mike. Okay. How much of us ate too much of everything else? Well, welcome. I'm blaming the tryptophan, or is that what it's called, tryptophan, on our lethargicness in worshiping God today. So relax. If you would take your swords out. I have mine out. Father, I have your word, and I believe it's true. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today's title is Entering the Realm of the Spirit. I would ask you to turn to Psalm 127. We're going to read the whole Psalm, but we're only going to focus on verses 1. Are we there? Okay, let's read. Unless the Lord builds the house, its its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. His sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they can contend with their enemies at the gate. As I said, we're going to focus on verse 1 today. And I want us to come away with something that in the natural, all of us have this ability to want to build something. Either our families, our jobs, our careers. But the truth of it is, unless the Lord builds it, you labor in vain. That's the truth. No matter what we try to build, if God is not in it, we pollute it. Okay? And so, you may be asking, well, what's this got to do with entering the realm of the Spirit? It has everything to do with it. Because when we enter into the realm of the Spirit, we choose to do it God's way. Right? And some of us are wrestling with that even right now. We're wrestling with why certain things aren't happening in our lives, and we forget that it's God's job to do these things. We're only required to do those things that he says we can do through the scriptures. So I ask you, what comes to mind when you think of the word house? What do you think about city? These are spiritual words. Whether you understand them or not, I will try in my humblest attempt to try to expand upon these to get your mind thinking in a way that the Holy Spirit wants to deal with. A house is but a singular unit that contains either a person or a family living in it, and is located within the sphere of a city or community that contains many houses. And hopefully that begins to stimulate your thinking that, you know, when Jesus was walking on the earth and he was confronting the demonic and he would give us parables about the demonic, they would always refer to the place that they lived as their house. Where do they live? They live in us. And so there are spiritual realities that are happening that the world in its wisdom proves to me how ignorant they are of this subject matter. And if we're going to do things God's way, we have to learn how to walk in the Spirit. We have to learn what the Spirit is all about. We have to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Because anything other than that is an exercise in futility. Okay? And so, what I would break down to say is the house is where you're living in. The true person of who you are is in your flesh, contained inside. This is just a tent or a house that we live in. Okay? But a house also contains the members of that family. And I call this the house of streams. Each and every one of you are part of this family that God is assembling together. Then we have the city. What comes to mind in a city? Well, it's a group of churches in a locale working together to fulfill the call of God. And if we don't understand that this practical things that God is trying to get us to see, I break it down to this. We understand the spiritual realm by first exercising the physical realities of it. In other words, first the physical, which teaches us the realities of the spiritual. That's how God works. Okay? If we can't see what God's doing in our physical realm of sphere, we don't have our spiritual eyes on. We're still thinking about me, myself, and my family. Well, my family, I think about is you guys. I think about what God wants to do with you guys, myself included. And so that's the job of a father of the house that we have to see. But it's real easy for us to speak these things. It's another story in which to exercise and develop our life upon the principles that God sets for us in the Word. Do we truly believe everything that he says in here is true? Because this is the foundation of the building block to build your life. God promises us success. He promises us in this success, he has plans for us that we haven't even thought about. But we still live our lives as though we're in ownership of it. We still live our lives in such a way that we still want to do what we want to do. Romans calls that living after the flesh. And we are exhorted that if you are a son and daughter of Jesus Christ, you live after the Spirit. Now, that's very elementary. And what happens is that God is pulling people together, not because we have great talents, the world's best orator, or that we have big givers to the works of the kingdom. Doesn't happen that way. God builds with love. He builds with love. And if you aren't generally expanding your love to your brothers and sisters, then you have self-love and you're still a carnal believer. I'm not saying it. It's in the scriptures. Check it out. what he is doing with us presently, as I said a couple of weeks ago, there is a cultural shift that is happening within the church. Not aware of this shift that is happening, I want to enlighten you that those who follow after the Spirit only want the things of the Spirit. We're only satisfied with the things of the Spirit. I love what God is doing because I look at the heart of God's people. And that shows me that they are willing to sacrifice whatever they have to in order to perpetuate the kingdom of God. And that's well-pleasing to God. Ken was here yesterday with Mike, and they sacrificed in a physical way, pushed the stone out in the driveway over here. It's a sacrifice for them to devote time to do that. But God will richly reward them because he honors that sacrifice because they did it in a spirit in such a way that glorifies him. That's the truth. It is the truth. And we have to understand that the reason why we're together is out of the scripture, John 13:35. Who knows that scripture? Go ahead, say it. They shall know you are my disciples by the love you have one for another. That's what we've built this ministry on. And we're going to continue to build it. But we have to see some interesting things in here. First of all, I view the world, and it contains three types of people. Okay? This is just me. This isn't how God looks at it. This is how I look at it. One, there are those who don't know Jesus Christ, and they're living after whatever they want to live after. And they are influenced by forces that they are totally unaware of. And they call it God. Whatever that is, they call it God. It's not God. But to them, it's God. The second type of people I see are born-again believers, those who have received Jesus Christ, those who say, he's my Lord and Savior, but they still live as though he's not. They still think that Lord and Savior means, I'm Lord, he's Savior. No. You have to understand, at the cross, there was an exchange that happened. I gave him my life, and he died on a cross. What I received was his life, and now the life I live is no longer for me. The third type of person I look at is a born-again believer who has been empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that we get everything right. Sometimes we're in the Spirit, sometimes we're out of the Spirit. But the education is between our ears. The education is in our soul. And today I want to explain how that happens so that we can begin to start moving into the realms that was pleasing to God. Amen? We have to begin to understand that we grow spiritually by our obedience to the application of God's Word. Now, there will be some times when the Holy Spirit will teach us certain things in the Word that may seem far-fetched. But the truth of it is, He wants to give us revelation. He wants to reveal Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. He wants to be your direct tutor into the things of the kingdom. He wants you to be so successful that everywhere you go and everything that you touch expands the kingdom and glorifies God. That's his desire. Is that your desire to want to be that pleasing to our Father? I know it's mine. I know it's Pastor Mike's and Miss Suzette's. I know it's definitely Irene's. I mean, she puts me to shame. She's more spiritual than I am. Because spirituality has nothing to do about the spiritual disciplines that we put together. It has everything to do with our attitude towards doing those things. How does this happen? Well, the born-again believer and the born-again empowered believer are within the church. And what I see is the born-again believer vacillating, struggling in these areas to really be pleasing to God. And I truly believe that they love God. I truly do. But for some reason, they're not open to allow the Holy Spirit to empower them to become the supernatural being that they are. And we need God's Spirit to do that. Or else we're less than what God has created us to be. If you look at the Genesis account, there wasn't anything that Adam couldn't do. And God came in every evening and he checked out and he says, wow, you're doing pretty good. Now I want you to name these animals. I want you to name all these plants. Do you think that was an easy thing to do for Adam? God didn't do it. He let Adam do it. How many of us can name every type of dog there is? Or plant? Adam did this. That's just to show the enormity of the scope. And because he did this, God said it's not good that he live alone. He gave us a helpmate. So we wouldn't be full of ourselves. Really. Our wives, guys, bring balance into our lives, whether we like it or not. And a lot of times they say things that really cause us to wonder if we're spiritual or we're still fleshly. And only through the Spirit of God can we receive those things. We have to hear the heart of what it is that God is saying through our spouses, our kids, our situations. You have to have spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to see what's going on. When things don't go right in my house, my kids used to say, oh, Dad, you're an old fogey. You won't let us have any fun. And I would say to them, if Jan and Terry jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge? Oh, that's too simplistic. No. Are you going to follow after God, which is what I want to do and train you, or are you going to follow the world? Because the world does some really pretty crazy things. We come back to the thing that when God builds, he wants to build you. And the Bible studies are geared to build you, to give you the word in your life. You see, the born-again believer takes the word and reads the word, and may even in some cases study the word, but all they receive is the logos. And we talked about this last Wednesday. The logos of the word, which basically is just the word. You read it in context. You just have an understanding. It goes to the mental images of you, but it doesn't stimulate you to accomplish that which God calls for. The believer who's empowered, born again of God's Spirit, baptized in His Spirit, takes that word and dwells on that word. And receives a revelation of that word that is so deep, it is so contextualized that what happens? It changes us from the inside out. I know this may sound very remedial, but I want to emphasize the importance is that we don't drift from our foundations. We just don't. What God wants to build in our lives is built upon that foundation. According to Ephesians 20, he builds upon Christ Jesus, the chief cornerstone, and the prophets and apostles. He sets us in alignment to do what he wants us to do, not what we think we should be doing. He's very specific. And so how does God build anything? Well, first of all, he's given us his word. Okay? If we aren't in the word daily, if all we're doing is, man, it's getting dusty. And I was there. I was there. What is becoming of our lives? Do we see any appreciable change in our lives? We could kid ourselves. I'm in your word every day, Lord. Is the word in you? Is the question. I could be in this 24/7 and not contain any word. I have just ascended my soul in such a way that I have a bunch of Bible knowledge, but I have no power to receive this, to do the things that God wants done. That requires obedience. We can't produce things that is beyond our ability, yet we struggle because we think that we produce fruit when it is the Holy Spirit's job to produce that fruit. We think we have these fantastic spiritual gifts when my Bible tells me that it is the Holy Spirit that produces these gifts as he wills. And some of you guys are struggling in areas in which God has chosen you to have dreams, to have visions, to prophesy. And yet, we're not doing that. I think it's because even though we've been baptized in Spirit's power, we're too self-conscious about it. You have to yield yourself obediently to what God wants to do. Your obedience is in direct correlation of your maturity in Christ. It's not being so spiritual that I have this information, I have this revelation, and I don't do anything with it. I don't bless my brothers and sisters with it. Because after all, what if I'm wrong? We've all been wrong. And we're going to make mistakes. Our Father understands. The difference is, in this house, this is a safe place. If you make a mistake, we're not going to call you out on the carpet. We're going to take you to the side. We're going to explain what happened. And we're going to encourage you. God obviously wants to use you in such a way to bless you. But you can't do it without his word. If you don't know what his word is, because everything that he speaks to us is centralized on his word. And you're not going to be able to utter this without yielding to the Holy Spirit. You see, he needs our vocal cords. He needs what our physical bodies have. Can your spirit speak to God without using your vocal cords? It can. I mean, I could pray silently. I could pray, as the scriptures say, mutter under my breath. Say my prayers under my breath. I can utilize the gifts as Holy Spirit wants to use them. He has to find a willing vessel. And if you're not willing, he'll look for a willing vessel until he finds one. You can't build something in your life of quality and of endurance separate from what God wants. It's important that we understand this. And like I said, this is very rudimentary and elementary in this. We need to be in the Word and we need to be in the Spirit. In the Spirit means that we're praying, we're seeking, we want deeper understanding as to what He's saying. And all of a sudden, as we're meditating on the Scripture, and this has happened to me numerous times, and I'm sure it's happened to some of you, you're down a road, you're not even thinking about something, and boom, the Holy Spirit brings a truth to you that is like, holy smokes, let me pull over and write this down. Because if I don't write it down, I'm going to forget. How can I make application if I don't write it down and then meditate on what He's saying there? It has to become part of me. You have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, in your spirit. He needs to utilize the vessel created for you to live in. And the first job of the Holy Spirit is to get rid of the junk. Change the way we think. And He deals with our attitudes. Now, when I came to Jesus Christ, I had some really bad attitudes. I was a nasty person. Nasty attitudes, everything. And every once in a while, it comes out. I'm not perfected yet. I want to be a pleasant vessel to the Lord. But the more I spend time with Him, the more I dwell on Him, the more I think about what He's saying and what He wants of me, the more I become like Him. I know things about Him that is only between Him and I. Just like you should have a special relationship to know Jesus in your unique relationship. But we have to understand, just like there's times and seasons, so there are times and seasons within the Spirit. Well, how can you say that? Well, let's just look at globally. Does the weather change every day, or is it the same all the time? Now, I'm not saying Hawaii. But it changes, right? So it does in the Spirit. We have to recognize, and this is what Jesus was saying, how is it that you can see that there's a storm coming, and you can recognize that, but you can't recognize that is a physical example of a spiritual reality? And these were the teachers and leaders of Israel leading the people. It was the blind leading the blind. You are not that. You are sons and daughters of the Most High. You need your eyes open and your spiritual ears opened to hear what the Spirit is saying to you and recognize this change. As I said, there's this spiritual shifting that is happening in the church of Jesus Christ. Turn to John, the 6th chapter. The 63rd verse. The question is, how do we recognize and how do we live in these spiritual changes? And this deals with the watchman. Every one of us is a watchman. We are. If you have the Spirit of Christ in you, you are a watchman. You should be able to discern the times and the seasons of what's going on. You should be able to discern the climate or the atmosphere in your church, in your personal life, in things that are going on in other people's lives that may or may not know Jesus Christ. Jesus says here, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Many of us just read the word expecting life to come to us. But the fact of the matter is, just reading the word isn't enough. We need the Holy Spirit to make that alive to us. That's where the rhema comes in. And you can't understand what Jesus is talking about unless you are born again of His Spirit and empowered by His Spirit, because you don't have the power to have your soul changed. And that's where our battle is. If we don't think on the same lines as Jesus Christ, what lines are we thinking on? We could get caught up in our circumstances and blame God for those circumstances. The fact of the matter is, God didn't create them circumstances, we did. But we want to blame somebody for our misgivings. God is here to straighten that out if we do it His way, His Word, and then by His Spirit, we allow it to happen. You see, it comes from us in here. I used to hear it say, you know it in your knower. You know that it's in your knower. Old saying. You know it's true. You don't have the realities of it manifested. You just know that it's true. And because it's true, and because God said so, it settles it. Really. We need to understand that with the Word, and this is why I emphasize basics, you gotta be in the Word. You gotta know what He says. You gotta have a prayer life. You gotta be chewing this thing up. And a prayer life isn't what we thought it was when we grew up in various different denominations. Prayer life is talking to Jesus. Talking it over with Jesus. Talking about the things of Jesus. Talking about the will of Jesus. When we talk about intercessory prayer, we're talking about finding out what He wants to do on the earth and how we are supposed to do it. But that's another story. It brings us to a place that we should really begin to start thinking. Will we walk after the flesh or will we walk after the Spirit? Now everyone in this room has been, to my knowledge, has been born again and empowered. What are you doing with your life? That's the count. As Irene says, and our prayer is every day we're looking for an opportunity just in one person's life to make a difference. One person. If that person is you, then you're not walking after the Spirit. You're walking after the flesh. Turn to Romans 8. We'll start with verse 3 and I'll read through verse 14. But understand that when we're empowered by the Spirit of God, I can readily discern what's going on in a person's life by the company that they keep, by the activities that they do on a daily thing. I said, this is not rocket science, you know. God made it so simple that even I can understand it. And you guys are a lot smarter than I am. Romans, the 8th chapter, starting verse 3. It says, for what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering, and so He condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on the nature on that nature's desire. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Yet, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. We have an obligation to no longer live after the flesh. That obligation is to the Creator, our Father. And yet, you've heard me say time and time again, it's like we have these options laid on the table. I can take this option, I can take that option. Those options were dealt with at the cross. Now you're obligated to live via the Spirit. That doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. That doesn't mean that what we've done in the past can't be forgiven. It can. And we can be washed clean. But what it means is this obligation means for us to grow up into all things in Christ Jesus. To live after the Spirit. To allow him to direct our paths, to be where we need to be so that we can be built up in our holy faith, to apply basic teachings that will make our lives successful. And that success doesn't mean it's going to be like the world. It's going to be like the kingdom of God. And we have to understand that God means business here. I am humbled that God has found me somewhat worthy to teach and lead you guys into these truths. But as a father to spiritual sons, spiritual daughters, we have to get our act together. As I said to the men, I was convicted by the Holy Spirit when I was out in Indiana that I was an enabler. And parents want their kids to be so successful that we will pick up the pieces so that they can have a life. And God rebuked me. And I've learned not to argue with God. I've learned to agree with God. When he said I was an enabler, he went down the list. This is what you're doing. 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 This is how they're reacting. This is what they are responding to you. I don't want you to do this anymore. All right. I repent, Father. Which causes me to grow up. I have to trust that he is going to initiate and stimulate your growth. And some of us are going to have some real trials. But what that trial is meant is to kill your fleshly desires so that your soul is filled with the Word of God and understand the will of God so that we as a community, a house of God, can do His will. That's the objective here. What is God's will? Very plain and simple. His will is that no man should perish, but all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is the mandate of the church. That's the mandate on this church. And we're still kind of wrestling with the idea that we got till tomorrow. Well, inflicts upon my soul is every minute that we are not engaging our neighbors, our community, our governmental leaders, is every minute someone else is going to hell. Think about it. You're saved. You're sanctified. You heard and responded. And we don't care about them that haven't. We're about our careers. We're about everything other than God's will. And I want to keep this balanced. God is interested in our jobs. God is interested. Who in our jobs is He prompting us to go speak to? Who is He prompting that He wants to bring into the church to hear the message of Jesus Christ? Because they are people who have no hope. If you look at the circumstances that are going around in the world today, if I wasn't saved, I'd be afraid. They're afraid. And they need the hope that you have, that God has put into you. All they need to do is hear what you're saying. Who's pastor? Say these things. I can say these things. But your attitude toward what I'm saying speaks volumes to God. He knows what's going on the inside of our hearts. I don't. We have to understand we have an awesome responsibility. I expect Josiah to grow into a manhood. But he can't grow into manhood without the proper teaching and nurturing that his parents and grandparents and everyone else affiliated with the family, so that he can fulfill the call of God in his life. And neither can you. Neither can any of us. We need each other. I've said to you, I need you. And that's hard. I was raised on a diet of independence. I don't need anybody. Give me enough time. I'll figure it out. Well, I've learned in ministry that I don't have the time to figure it out. And neither do you. You need to respond to His call on your life. Turn to Hebrews 4, last scripture before we close. Hebrews 4:12-13. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before His eyes, to whom we must give an account. When I came into the kingdom, I used to be satisfied with, man, I got through the door. Let me just keep the door open for those who are coming in. I thought that was a great job, being a doorkeeper. God had greater thoughts. You are being trained in your vocations for the work of the kingdom. Some of you have learned that hypothetically, or how's Nolan put it? High prophetically, when God speaks to me, I speak that over you, because that's life. That's the word of God. That's the living word of God. And some of you have taken to heart and began to allow the Holy Spirit to teach you through your vocations. Teach you to things I'm impossible that I are incapable of me teaching you. But He's preparing you. He's preparing each and every one of us to grow up and take hold of that call that's in our lives. Don't you want to see your neighbors saved and in the kingdom? Don't you want them to be trained up so that they can continue to expand the kingdom? It's not going to happen unless we open our mouths to them. It's not going to happen unless we show them the love of God. It's not going to happen if we're constantly fighting against the Spirit. It's not going to happen. You see, somehow we've been indoctrinated incorrectly that it's somebody else's job. If I just pray to God, it'll happen. If you're praying to God, God is saying, I choose you. When Jesus says, pray for the workers, who's He talking about? He's talking about you. And you. And you. And me. He's talking to the church. The Word is living. It's powerful. It's what the Spirit of God uses to correct our thinking, to correct our attitude of heart. And we give Him permission every time we're in the Word. Well, I just won't read the Word. And I know people who have said that to me. I just won't read the Word. And I'm like, you're sabotaging what God wants to do in your life. Well, I'm not accountable. You're accountable for what you hear. You're accountable for what you say. You're accountable for what you do. And so am I. I'd rather spend my time praying for mercy and forgiveness, and that God would cleanse me from all that unrighteousness, all those unrighteous and unholy attitudes, so that I can be about Father's business. We have to learn the difference between the soul nature and the Spirit's nature. That's what we're going into. That's where we're heading. But the first step is we have to step into the realm of the Spirit and say, Father, Your Word is true. I am what it says I am. I have everything it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do. There's nothing in here that we can't do. Nothing. We refuse to do it, or we put it off like it's not important. If God said it, it's real important. Believe me, I tried to defer it. I've run out of time. I can't defer anymore. We should cultivate the desire to fulfill God's desire for us. And that desire has to culminate with the local church. That's where sons and daughters care more about the kingdom of God than they do about their lives, because Matthew 6:33 comes into play and it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all this will be added to you. Well, we're busy about the addition stuff. We have to understand that God wants to multiply us. He wants to give us in multiplication numbers. To live in the Spirit is going to require us to be in the Word and in prayer and seeking after Him and His will. And the way we learn these things is obediently implementing what He says we should be. If He says no more coarse jesting, we need to stop it. He's empowered us to take over the tongue. That just means we need to be cognizant. We have to be mindful. Jesus didn't say anything that didn't have meaning and purpose with it. And we are so cavalier about what comes out of our mouth. We have to realize we give permission to the Holy Spirit to divide the soul and the spirit by using the Word of God on us. And He uses it in a way not to punish us, but to make us better. Attitude is 9/10 of kingdom work. Attitude. It's our choice to live up and fulfill the full potential that God has put into each and every one of us. I can't live that for you. I am chasing after God to be and become and live in the full potential of Jesus Christ through my life. Whatever that means. And as I said, I'm going back to school. I'm getting my degree. You may say, well, you don't have to. I'm doing it because Father said I should. See, that's a difference. If I look at my circumstances and situations, it doesn't make sense. That's the carnal mind. But the things of the Spirit, it makes sense because He wants to open up other doors of opportunity to influence more people for His expansion so that I may glorify Him more and more. That's how we have to think. Lastly, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible to them who believe. Do you believe that what He says is true? Because that's the foundation of the rest of your life. I want to exhort you that this is not some sort of creepy crawly type of thing. We are supernatural beings. God wants us to live supernaturally. And He wants to manifest Himself supernaturally. Not to us, but to them who are seeking after Him. Signs and wonders follow us. We're not to be running after churches that are having these great things. Why don't you put the God to the test? And step out when the Holy Spirit says He wants you to do something and see what God does. He won't disappoint. He won't disappoint. Pastor Mike, would you end us in prayer, please?